So, for this week's episode of Treaty Talk, I'm glad to be joined by John Keogh because Matt O'Callaghan wasn't around. That's the only reason John got in. We've another busy action, or a weekend of action, round three, the penultimate round, or the final round of the group stages, 12 games in total. So, and you're involved, Carrick Slane, Ballybrown tomorrow night. So, are you looking forward to another weekend of it?
Oh, big time, Jack. Yeah, look, it's been great. It's been great the last few weeks for us. Just to be back involved, as you said, you know, it's. And I was just thinking about it earlier today. The quality of games we've had so far, as well, have just been superb. So, we're something really to play for a lot of teams this weekend in all the grades. It's fantastic to see.
So we might as well get started with the Senior Hurling Championship. So in Section A, in Group One, Patrickswell versus Doon on Saturday evening. Gaelic Rounds. Patrickswell obviously won their one and only game against Adair, and Doon. Drew with Adair, so it's odd paper really in this game.
Yeah, 6 points difference, scoring difference. I think we heard last week as well, Brian Foley to Patrick's well, that you know that he had hoping they could do him a favour, you know, and hard to blame him for that. Like, so basically Adair will get through if Doon are beaten by six or more, or more than six, I should say. And you know, Patrick's well doing the last couple of years and be two crackers. Patrick Swell last year got the better of him, but a couple of years ago, Dennis Maloney scored very, very late in the game, saw Doon into a county final. They're usually epic contests. They're two fairly even teams as well. Despite, like, anyone who watched the Doon Adair game last week, high-quality game of hurling again, but Doon have a fair amount of injury problems, not only Richie English, you've Stephen Ryan, you've Cahill Mack, who's always a big player for them, out injured. Cormac Ryan, of course, Limerick minor the last couple of years, who we saw in the 21s a couple of week, so he's gone long term, and a couple others as well. So, but in saying that, talking about Doon first, I mean, they have players all over the field. Dara Donovan slotted into centre back like he's played there all his life, with Mikey O'Brien moving to the wing. Dara had a superb game. And Declan Hannon as well, one of Adair's main danger men, and obviously Limerick senior captain. And Dara kept him very, very quiet and chipped in with some ridiculous scores, as Dara always does. So, despite missing them kind of players, Mark Coleman's the other one who was out, he was suspended last year. Last game of last year, that followed through to their first game. So he's a big boost to have him back against Patrickswell. Huge scoring threat. Barry Murphy in great form. They're more than likely going to get more from Josh Ryan, who was around the edge of the square against Adair last week. He only came up at 1 point, and they expected more from Josh. And then the opposite side, Patrickswell, look, you know, they were tested for a lot of that game against Adair first night out. Looked for a long time they weren't going to come out on top. Their class got them through in the end. Last quarter, Adair tired. There's no point saying they didn't. Aaron Gillan stood up. Kevin O'Brien stood up. Vital, vital goals, you know, got them through. As champions always do, they stood up when they needed to, you know. So they'll be better for that game. Doon will be better for that game. It was all the makings of what could be a cracking game Saturday evening, first or second up, I think it is.
Yeah, and just on Patchwell for a second, obviously Aaron Gillan was probably the difference against Adair. And you would have had Rich English as a shoo-in to mark him. Who's going to fill that void now on Saturday evening?
Yeah, that's the big question. You know, at times of day, I had two fellas marking Aaron Gillan in that game. And Aaron Gillan scored two. I think he scored 2-5, I think, in the end. But he got two goals. He caught two balls and got two goals out of it. So that was the two fellas marking him. So it doesn't matter who's marking him. Aaron Gillan was standing behind catching balls. And if he stands up behind you, like we've seen at inter-county level many times, he's capable of doing that. And when he catches that ball, and if he holds onto his hurley, which we've seen isn't always the case, Aaron will score. So Doon will definitely have a plan. They've a very good management team behind them, not that they haven't in the last few years, but a very experienced manager with Tony Ward, who, of course, has been involved with Galway underage teams in the past. Very shrewd. He will have a plan for Aaron Gillan. And, you know, they'll have to. You know, they'll have to try something different. That, as I said, Jody Hennon was marking Aaron Gillan at times, that David Connolly in double marking, and Aaron was still coming up catching the ball and scoring goals. So he's a huge, huge danger man. They'll also be looking at his younger brother, Jason, who had a very hit and miss game against the Adair first of him. Jason's a talented, very talented earlier. He was at part of the Limerick panel last year. Made in goals for Patrickswell at times last year, and of course for Mary Ann if it's Giving Cup. Well, look, Patrick's well have class players all over the field. You know, Josh Considine missed that game. He could be back. He'd be a huge boost for the well as well. So, you know, they have threats everywhere, but no question, Gillan will have to be nullified if Doon are to have any hope of winning this game.
Yeah, and there's just battles all over the field. Even Darren and Osbeth centre back, he'll probably have to go into the field. Keane Lynch, Barry Murphy, Damer Burns. But, I mean, if you had to call it, which which way do you see this going and who's going to go through?
Both have played a game each. You know, one player I didn't mention for doing is Pat Ryan. He was in great form for a lot of the game against the Dare, scored a few points, a few vital scores, mainly in the first half. It's a very hard one to call, but I'd be silly to bet against Patrick as well. You know, they're champions for a reason. You know, the one thing maybe they could worry, if they do get a couple of more injuries, more key players being injured outside of Josh, he would need an appendicitis as far as I know. Coming off the bench is it doesn't really seem that they have a huge amount to come off the bench. There's no Andrew Carroll around with their senior team this year. You know, there's a couple of other lads. Paul O'Brien started for their senior team in the early stages of last year's championship. He's played junior hurling at the moment with Patrick as well. You know, so there isn't a huge squad. Like, Doon have a lot of under-21s come on. The likes of Bob Purcellew, again, who we've seen, former Limerick minor. A couple of more like that to bring into their team. But in saying that, I still go for Patrick's win when I'm pushed.
Finally got an answer there.
Eventually, yeah.
As a curtain raiser on Saturday evening at 5:30, you have a hand in Kilmallock, also in the Gaelic Rounds, also in RTE. Kilmallock obviously beat McPhirsig in their first game, and a hand got a heavy beating in their game against McPhirsig. Is it as straightforward as that? Or
nothing's ever as straightforward as it seems. I was commentating on that game last week, the McPhirsig a hand game. The biggest thing to come out from that game was that Ahan, outside of McPhirsig, played very well, and which they did, and they did what they had to do, put up a big score. Obviously helped by Ahan going down to 40 men just before halftime when Jeff Enright was sent off with a straight red. So what I'm saying about Ahan is they just didn't look like they had a plan. They had a plan to set up against McPhirsig. It didn't work. Clearly, like the full forward line. And the Pierce, of course, they missed Kyle King. Kyle King didn't start. Niall Buckley didn't start. Niall Buckley eventually came on. You know, so James O'Brien and Niall Moran was a great battle throughout the game and they were on each other. James O'Brien coming in from their intermediate team, obviously with a lot of experience. But even though Niall Moran was on him, he had, at times, Niall was trying to fight a couple of battles, trying to put out fires in a lot of places. And James O'Brien and Ronan Lynch, if you give them time, and Mike Foley in the full back, or the wing back, the other wing back on the day, they had too much time to deliver. And when you've time to deliver into David Dempsey, Adrian Breen, and Will Henn on this occasion, that was the Pierce full forward line with Peter Casey drawn out to centre. Like a quality after quality after quality ball, and Ahan couldn't counteract it. They tried to counteract it, but everything they tried in the main stopped. Now, what they did very well against the Pierce for large periods was hunting packs. And the first 15, 20 minutes, that did work. And they were in touch, but once Adrian Breen got the first goal, after a very good run by Conor Boylan, the game was over. And that was about 20 minutes or so gone in the game. Ahan didn't have enough firepower, despite the best efforts of Tom Morrissey, Niall Moran, and Ronan Fox had a very fine game under 21 players as well. They just didn't have enough firepower. And when they did have chances, they were falling to their players at times. So shots from 40, 50 yards that they needed to go over, didn't. You know, so that was a big blow for them. They'll regroup. They've no choice but to regroup. You know, they're up from Section D last year. But they're up against the Kilmallock team. Look, we all saw what Kilmallock did to Napiershig. Napiershig strong favourites going into that game. Kilmallock produced one of the best performances they've produced, probably since they won the county title a few years ago. The management team of Tony Considine and Clem Smith, very much down to them. We'll find out on Saturday if they can replicate it. I still see Kilmallock being strong favourites. You know, Graham Mulcahy, arguably in the last three seasons, 18, obviously, 19, and this season so far, watching him both Limerick in the league before COVID-19 and since Kilmallock came back, he gave an exhibition of everything you could want in from an inter-county hurler. He can score, the work rate he's put in that game, just taking that Napiershig win alone, the work rate he had in that was just phenomenal. So, you know, Kilmallock then elsewhere, the O'Loughlins look to be in good form. They've and Costello, who played very well for Limerick in the league this year as well, he's in flying form, they're very experienced defence. They've the likes of Robbie Hanley to come back into that team still. They've good players all over the field. Kilmallock's biggest problem in the last couple of years to me, watching from the outside, has been they're just lacking a bit of gel. Maybe something, just maybe the unstalled thing, or something inside maybe that just wasn't happening for them. Maybe the previous managers, but Clem Smith and Tony Considine can get that out of them. Tony Considine has won a county title with Kilmallock. They've gone back to him. You know, it worked the first day. We'll see. We'll just see again. They have to be overwhelming favourites. And of course, Ahan will be without Jeff Enright as well. Good half-back for them. through that red card. But it'd be wrong of me to suggest anything other than the Kilmallock victory, judging on both performances so far.
And how important is it for Kilmallock to get that win and to get into the semi-final and avoid a banana skin in the quarter-final? Or is it easier?
Yeah, no. But once you get to that stage, Jack, in semi-finals you're going to be playing the best teams anyway. Once you're in, avoiding a quarter-final from the other section, and we've seen in the last couple of years, there've been heavy defeats for the teams coming up in the other sections. Depending on who comes out of the games this year, we'll talk about that in a minute, going into their final games. Maybe a bit different. I think judging from what I've seen so far, I could be proved wrong on this. The level of quality between the teams in Section B and Section A, the gap is shortening. Whether it's shortened enough, we'll find out as the year goes on. But for Kilmallock, I think it's a huge game. And I just don't see them taking the foot off the pedal. I don't think with the people they have in charge, like as I've mentioned, Tony Consa and Clem Smith, they're serious operators. I'm not saying their previous management wasn't, but they look at that. No one was surprising Kilmallock within that group of players that they could beat in the Beartree. They've done it before many times. Maybe that they pulled it off first game of the championship. At Werner just primed for that game, and now we'll see. Can they get up again for the same game? Again, only Saturday will tell, but it is a huge game for me. It's fair to highlight that them going automatically into a semi-final, they can just bring things right back down, prepare for a semi-final, rather than to have the awkwardness of a quarter-final. As you said, banana skin. It's an awkward thing you don't want to have. If you're a team, you'd rather go straight to the semi-final, prepare for that. It's not as if this year there's going to be a 3-4 week break. It's going to be on that fairly quickly, as we know. There will be a break, probably 3 or 4 weeks, but you know what I'm saying. There's not a 6 week wait like there's been in previous seasons. So you're looking at the championship being run off the way it's been run off. So I think for Kilmallock it is. Yeah, it's a huge game, and for a hand, conversely, if they can pull out a performance, they've every chance. Well, they're not going to reverse a 20-point defeat. So we're going into the relegation situation for them. It'll give them a bit of confidence, but I just can't see Pascal Malik.
Yeah, and speaking of the teams that are going to come up in Section B on Friday night, Garish Flan and Ballybrown kick off action for the whole weekend, a game which will be commentating. Ballybrown obviously won their first game against Blackrock very well, very comprehensively. Garish Flan then drew Blackrock last week, but in a game like this where winner takes all, essentially, it's going to be a very tough game for both sides.
Oh, it's a huge game, huge game. Ballybrown, like as you said, Jack, They were outstanding against Blackrock. Really, first game of the championship, you want a team to produce something. Okay, they produced an outstanding performance. Blackrock, by no means, were out of that game in the first 20 minutes, but Ballybrown went up a couple of levels before the halftime break. And just Andrew Cliff, I have to mention him straight away. He's captain of the team this year. He's played senior the last couple of years. A lot of his time playing Ireland at junior level. Speaking to Evan Loftus after that game, he went into detail. Andrew Cliff has worked very, very hard. He's captain of the team. To even get onto the senior team, the work he's put in the last number of years, and especially in the off-season. Scored 2-11. That's a huge total no matter what. Even if you are taking the freeze. An outstanding, but he wasn't alone. Look, Ballybrown won a county premier minor last year. They've only a couple of them on the team. Their keeper, the McMiners, Colin Coughlin, and Aidan O'Connor as well. But surrounding that, they've a lot of experienced players that are still very young as well. The likes of Brian and Ross Griffin, but they've been around a long time. Stephen O'Reilly, James Hall, all these lads been around a long, long time. Josh Adams, the names do roll off the tongue very quickly with that Ballybrown group of players. So they were outstanding against Blackrock, and as you mentioned, Garth Blan on the flip side did very, very well to come away with anything against Blackrock last weekend. The bouncers backbone by a lot of their 21s who are heading into another 21 semi-final next week. Heavily reliant on Dylan O'Shea against Blackrock to get him through. Obviously, with O'Shea popping up with that late goal, forcing the draw. But Gastelan would be a lot better for that game. They don't have the Ryans anymore. Donny Ryan has finally, might play junior later in the year, but he's finally called time on the main team of Gastelan. They'll miss him because Donny's always good for a few points, and they missed him against Blackrock, I think, too. But there's always a time. Look, Gareth Blan, I personally think this is the potential to be the game of the weekend. And I'm not diluting what's happening in the Section A of things as well. I just think this could be a humdinger. I really do. I'm not just saying that because I'm commentating on it either. I just think you have a Belly Brown team that have been going for a few years. They have a few minors coming through, as I mentioned. You know, they've good backroom team. Not saying everyone does have a good backroom team, but they were very methodical in what they did against Blackrock. They didn't take the foot off at any stage. Quite okay, the last 15 minutes or so in the second half, the game was long over. Blackrock got a couple of goals, kind of put a glass on the scoreline, make it a 10-point defeat rather than what could have been a 20-point defeat. And Gasplan, as I said, they've been looking at this team, these lads coming through for a number of years now. They've shown it under 21 level. They've shown it this year in under 21 level. We've seen what they can produce at that level. They need to, for both sides, they need to be playing Senior A. Gasplan for their further development. Benny Brown will feel that they're good enough to be at Senior A level. A blip a couple of years ago, a bad year. Any team can have a bad year. They were stuck down their last year with a hand coming through. Their goal is to get up, you know, and if they do get into a quarter final, they'll fancy themselves against any of the teams left. I know that. They will. They have enough quality to challenge the majority of teams in this competition. Whether Gasplan do or not, time will tell. But I just think it's going to be so hard to separate. It could come down to free-taking. Andrew Cliff, from my recollection, I think he only missed one or two. And as we know, Dylan O'Shea misses very little. The 16 points against Napiershig in that under-21 quarter-final. You know, and he was in flaking form with him against Blackrock as well. So, yeah, I just see it being a very, very tight game.
Yeah, it promised to be a classic. Like, when you look at Belly Brown, they were only in county-final 4 years ago. And speaking to Evan Loftus during the week, he says, you've obviously named a few of the minors, but he said just the minor win last year, it just created a whole boost. And then Gary Spillane, back-to-back minor winners. So, like, if you had to put your neck on the line here, which way do you see it going?
It's very difficult, Jack. It is very, very difficult. I know a lot of them Belly Brown lads very, very well. And you know, they're champing at the bit. I'm not saying, again, Gary Spillane there, but I do know for the work Belly Brown have really, really been methodical. They've changed. They've done a lot of changes in their team. The likes of Josh Adams now in and around the square, like rather than his traditional defensive role, like so big target man in there for them. You've Brian Griffin in full forward, you know, you've wily players around the edge of the square for them. And they've talent out the field as well. Like say Kenny Power scoring points from half back line. He scored 2 points. Colin Coughlin scored 3 points from play from the other wing. And but just the way they put the ball out of defence was very impressive against Blackrock. Playing the way a lot of teams are at the moment. Whether Gasplan will give them that space or not that Blackrock did, I don't think so. If I really, you know, you are clearly pushing me, so I'm going to go for a very tight Belly Brown victory. But this one really, really could go either way.
Lovely. And on the other side then, you have Maru Bohar and Monleen obviously won their first round game against South Liberties. Maru Bohar took a bit of a beating, to be quite honest, against South Liberties last week. This one's on Sunday. Like, Maru Bohar will be hurting. And there is a chance for it to go through, but is it straightforward again?
Yeah, I don't think it is straightforward. The scoreline in that game kind of didn't really reflect the close nature of it for large parts. When Barry Nash moves up from his defensive or midfield position to 3-1 in the last quarter, you know, and they win the game by that margin in the end, you know, it does tell a tale that Maru Bohar were in that game for a long, long time. Barry Nash popped up, but like what Barry Nash is well capable of doing, we've all seen it over the years, what he can do. So I don't think that result shows how tight that game was for large periods. Monoline, they've done what they had to do in their first game against Liberties, you know, and on form, you'd expect them to come through, but Maru Bohar are never an easy team to play. If you give enough frees against them, Shawnee Tobin will punish you and punish you all day long. He's shown it for years. If you give Maru Bohar chances, he will take them, you know. So it's only a couple of years ago as well since they were in the county quarter-final as well. Okay, they got a bad beating on the day, but, you know, they have a lot of young lads that have come through the last couple of years. They're still finding their feet at this level. They're captained by Daya Kennedy this year as well. Daya, even though he's only, 22, 23, he's a lot of experience at this level. So I wouldn't be fully ruling that. That one could be tighter than people expected. Maybe the fact that it's on the LIT Gaelic Crowns may suit Monoline better with their younger, not their younger, but they're quicker. They're pacey forwards. They're dangerous. You know, the likes of Mark O'Dwyer can score from anywhere as well. And the players, Andrew Dushkazic, the players coming out their ears, Monoline, the last couple of years. Monoline's big challenge is there is a lot expected of them. You know, and it's probably nearly time that they delivered. You know, they've been there and thereabouts, been talked about for the last number of years. likes of Jack Collins is still knocking around. He's always been a dangerous forward for them as well. So, you know, that they'll be expecting to win. That they have bigger plans than getting out of their group this year. But to do that, they have to beat Murray Boha. And, you know, on form, you'd have to send Moline or big favourites for it, yeah.
Yeah, they will be big favourites, but at the end of the day, Marubo need a win to avoid relegation playoff at the same time. So that's round up the senior action. We also have four fixtures in Premier Intermediate. It starts on Saturday with two games at 4 o'clock in Group 2. So the first of those, Mungriff versus Capamore in the Childers Road. Mungriff are through already, and Capamore are trying to avoid bottom spot. It's another one with a heavy favourite.
It'll be interesting. Mungret will start as favourites, but interesting to see what Mungret do with their team. They've a junior team as well, obviously. Like, so I don't reckon they want to make too many changes although they're through. They'll want to keep what they've been going. They've been very impressive in their two games so far. Obviously a very tight win against Kildare Palace Kenry last minute, but like they've a guy in Paul O'Brien that will get on any team in the county by far and most teams around the country. You know, he's lethal. If you give him chances, like I said about Shawnee Tobin. But they've much more than that as well. Like Sakeen O'Brien's been in fine form in their opening games too and plenty others on top of it. So I'd be very surprised if they, even though they're true, if they deviate much from their team. It'd be interesting to see what they're doing, their junior team will do. Caffmore, on the other hand, you know, it's not long since they were senior as well. It doesn't bode well for them. You know, they're like... Palace Kenry beat them fairly comfortably last week as well. You know, it is very easy, slippery slide, like where you can drop a couple of divisions very, very quickly if things aren't going for any given year. And this is an awkward year with COVID and everything, so you might be going well in the early part of the year, and all of a sudden, bang, you have a few months of a break, and that could be something that Caffmore. It's a huge game for them. I mean, it's a must win game, you know, but. Mungret will be, again, similar to Monaleen, like a lot have been said, Mungret have had under 21 teams the last few years. They've had minor teams come through, a lot of players playing with Limerick underage like Monaleen. Two clubs that are building, you know, building a base at hurling like in the last number of years. So they'll be looking further ahead with Mungret as well. But I think they'll have too much for Capamore, even if they even make a couple of changes, bringing a few of their junior lads in.
Yeah, I saw Mungret against Kildare Palace Kenry now, and just the level in that game. I haven't seen Caffmore, to be honest. The level in that game was senior level. So it's hard to pass Mungret. In the other game in the group, then it's the thing they've been first round, Kildare Palace Kenry versus Brewery. Kildare Palace have one win, Brewery have a draw. So the winner here will join Mungret.
Yeah, this is going to be a different game altogether now. Brewery, what you've watched Brewery over the years, like I have, they're a very hard team to beat in any circumstance of a game. They're never easy beat any Brewery team, even when I was playing against them. Because they're dogged, they'll always be dogged, they'll always produce a performance in any given championship year. The worry for Kildare Palace Kenry and Natal O'Grady, they'll just be hoping it isn't this game. Kildare Palace Kenry, you know, last year, as we saw as well, Jack, you know, they'd be livid as a club that they're not playing the senior grade. They had chances to beat Blackrock, not taking anything away from Blackrock. Any team that wins the championship deserves to win the championship. But Kildare Palace Kenry didn't perform in both games. It is that simple as well in both the first game and the replay. It looks like they've regrouped. Obviously, there's been a change in management with Natal O'Grady coming in as well. You know, they would have been very disappointed to come out the other side of that Mungret game. They did respond against Caffmore last time out. Look, you said about that Mungret game as well. It was the level of a senior game and a high-level senior game at that. That's the standard Palace Kenry, Kilima Palace Kenry believe they should be at. You know, so they'll be looking to set a marker again on this weekend for Brewery. They won't have it easy, but if Kilima Palace Kenry play to their potential, they should win. But that doesn't mean that Brewery won't make it difficult for them.
Yeah, as you said, Brewery are always difficult to win. But in Kyle Hayes and Darren O'Connell, not to mention any other players, Lion Palace have just born match winners. Look, time will tell. Later that evening, then Group 1 takes centre stage. You have the meeting of Brough and Glenrhu, with the winners taking top spot and the losers coming second. If the draw, Brough come first and Glenrhu come second. But both teams are true. Can you see the teams trying something different, or will they be all out to get the win?
There could be a bit of shadow boxing in this one, all right, Jack. Just for purely, you know, the troll lads out. Glenrhu, just taking on them first. I mean, What a huge, huge jump. There is a big jump from intermediate to Premier Intermediate, and they've just taken to it like duck to water. I know I'm sounding like Matt O'Callaghan now praising Glenn Rowe, but I mean, I saw it again. There was very little between them and Newcastle West in the junior final last year. Sorry, the intermediate final last year. And, you know, Glen Rowe have just been outstanding in their opening two games. On the flip side, Brough, you know, view themselves as a senior team. I watched that interview we did a couple of weeks ago, Sean Finn, and the enthusiasm he was having for the club championship kind of gave you a signal that Brough were going well, you know. And that's the proof has been in the pudding in that sense for them. I think, look, I could be wrong, shadow boxing maybe stretching it a little bit. I certainly think Brough might throw in a few players that haven't played up to now, maybe a few of their 21 players that have been maybe on the outskirts of the team. Glen Rowe, maybe not as big a pick to play, pick from, or to a big of pool to pick from. So they might just keep going. We're in good form, let's keep it going, you know. So it has all the makings again of an absolute cracker, this one. All going to plan, they'd rather finish top of the group than second. Does it mean a huge amount going forward? No, because once you're in knockout stages, you're going to be playing a good team anyway, as I said earlier, with the senior stuff. But yeah, it's a fascinating contest for two informed teams. I think personally, if Brough go full pelt, they just have about enough for Glen Rowe. You know, they'll be a bit wilier, even though Glen Rowe very experienced with a lot of the Ballylander lads in their side as well. The likes of Jimmy Barry Murphy, as we've seen over the years, well capable of popping up with scores and plenty others on top of that. Like, so, you know, with the O'Connells as well, like Mark and Brian, they've threats everywhere, Glen Rowe too. So that to me is a fascinating contest as well. Just think Brough might have enough in it.
Yeah, and it goes out saying that Metrochellen will disagree with that, but it promised to be a fascinating game. And look, we'll see them in the semi-finals regardless. So it'll be interesting to see, is there going to be shadow boxing? Then at the flip side of that group, you have Drumnaclacha versus Knockaney with the losers into relegation final. I'm unsure. Let me just check now, see who has the superior points differential in that group. But if it's a draw, the team with the superior points differential will survive. We Drumnaclacha. So yeah. This one now, there'll be no shadow boxing for this game.
No, there's no shadow boxing when it comes to relegation. Having played in relegation playoffs and semi-finals involved, you don't want to be there. I've played it over the years. It's a horrible, horrible game to be involved in, and no team believing wants to be involved in it. You just, again, I mentioned it there about Cathal Mór, about a slippery slide. We're seeing that with Knockaney. A little bit, I'm 100% again, could be proved very wrong on this. Seen her a couple of years ago. They've struggled at Premier Intermediate level even in the last couple of years since they've been down senior. Athlaca, on the flip side, have been a Euro team over time between Intermediate and Premier Intermediate since its inception a few years ago. It's a very, very tight one to call. Both sides can produce on the day. It's just, when you've lost your opening couple of games, it's very hard confidence-wise to come back from it. So that'll be the biggest thing, is pulling some. Both teams will certainly believe they can win the game. So they'll take confidence from the fact that the other team is in the same situation as them. But yeah, it's a huge, huge game. And look, it could come down to free taking, you know, as it invariably does. And Athlaca have one of the best free takers in the county, like in David Reedy. So that's a huge boost for them. You know, Knockaney do as well. They've solid free taker as well. So, I mean, it could come down to something like that. If it does, you know, it's going to be a very hard one to call again. I just have a feeling that Lack, yeah, they'll be very disappointed not to have won one of their opening games and just maybe have a bit much for Knockaney. But again, it's going to be a very tight one, I expect, anyway.
Yeah, and look, these relegation finals take on a life of their own. If one team fails to run up, that's it and gone. But it's very hard to see either team failing to run up. It's bound to be a close one. That rounds up the Premier Intermediate action. And then Intermediate, we have four more group games, as I said, to round up the group stages. In Group 1, you have Effin versus the Pearsig. That's played on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. The Pearsig obviously won their first game, and Effin were losers last week. So how would you see this one going?
Pearsig certainly lost James O'Brien from there, as I mentioned, with the senior team. So he's a big loss to that Intermediate team. They are backbone by a lot of the 21 players last number of years, and a few players that played senior in the past as well. Look, we all know what the Pearsig will bring to that game. They're playing off the one panel between the senior and intermediate as it is anyway. Yeah, Effin, you know, again, would be disappointed. It was a tight game that they came out second best at last time out. it's a very tricky one. You know, they're capable of putting a performance in on the day, you know, obviously with the Quaids. They're the mainstay of the team, but you know, they can't every day. Like, there's a huge pressure, certainly at intermediate level and junior level, if there are county players on that day. There's a huge amount of pressure on Nicky Quaid with that team. He plays out the field, he's the star player in the team, and a lot falls on county players at that level, unfairly in my eyes. Like, so, but they'll need a huge performance from the likes of Nicky Quaid on the other hand of that as well, and Tommy Quaid as well. So, you know, it's going to be very difficult. The Pearshing, on the other hand, they have one win. They'll take huge confidence from that. You know, we all know the Pearshing are at. You know, they play the same way every team, the whole way up. They try and play the same way every time. The likes of Calvin Moore, and of course, who transferred from St. Patrick's last year, was part of their 21s. He's playing on the intermediate team as well. Very dangerous forward, as we saw in the 21 Championship so far. You know, they do have other players that, you know, that are of high quality, and getting that a lot of young lads wanted to push for the senior team the next year or two, and this is their chance. It was Will Henn last year. He was making his way to 21s and intermediate as well. Shane Downing got injured. It was Will Henn that came in to take the freeze. You look at him now, he's a mainstay of their senior team. Other players on that intermediate team, not saying that this competition is a stepping stone for them, but invariably they all, if you're worth anything at all, you want to be playing the senior team. So that's a huge motivation for this Nipirshik team, you know. So again, making me make a call on it, I'm going to go with Nipirshik on this one, and that spells a bit of trouble for Effin if that's the case.
Yeah, it does definitely spell trouble. But like, if you look at Nipirshik's performances last year, they only lost out to Glenruin. I feel like it was an extra time, but if not, it was a very close game. So they could very well have a Premier Intermediate team as well as a senior. In Group 2 and Intermediate, you have Hospital versus Crenabell and Garry. Hospital lost to Croom last weekend. Crenabell and Garry drew with Croom a fortnight ago. So a win for Hospital is enough. A draw for Crenabell and Garry will take them through alongside Croom.
Yeah, just on Croom very quickly. How much of a turnaround from a couple of years ago when they were really fighting relegation to now topping their group effectively? Well, more than likely. Given the result, I know Ballingarry can still top it. Like, but it's massive achievement for going in this game. You know, it's going to be an interesting one again. You know, it's tough, Jack. It's really, really tough at this level. You know, you've in Ballingarry, like, you know, they have a lot of experienced players in that team. Don O'Grady was still dogging out with him last year. I don't know. I haven't seen if that's the case this year. Again, he's a huge part of what they were before, but you know, you have games like this where, again, like mentioned in the one in the previous group, where you have things that are so tight, when there's so much at stake, you really want to put in a performance. And you know, it's not the easiest game in the world to be trying to push. It's a dogfight, basically, is what I'm saying, Jack, and all games like this usually are. You know, for a Hospital, like, just looking at the results here myself, like, it's an 8-point win for Croom. 1-10 isn't going to win you too many games. Like, it's just not, you know. They do have the likes of Aaron Murphy lining out at full-back. You know, very experienced player, of course, involved in the Limerick team, a sub-keeper for many years. They do have the likes of Mark Deegan as well around, you know. Good players, very, very good club players and higher-level players. Hospital, Ballingarry, you know, Croom, this group have been teams involved in the lower stage of this group for a number of years, and you know, it's hard. Ballingarry have that point. This game really could go either way. Like, there's only a -8 difference between, there isn't a huge amount between the teams. So I mean, it's going to be very, very hard one to call again. And that's the thing with the majority of this intermediate championship. All the teams are very, very close in quality together. You saw that last year with Newcastle West, who we'll talk about in a minute in the next group. You know, they came through to the final against Glenruin. It was a good final, but it was a tough, hard-fought game. In any game in intermediate, you don't win easy, you know. And it's going to be the very same between Granite Ballingarry and Hospital Herbertstown. It's a very hard one to call. Wouldn't surprise me if it was a draw.
Yeah, and just looking through the whole intermediate group as a whole, like, just the quality there is just very, very even when you go to all groups. We go to Group 3 now, which has Newcastle West, as you mentioned, against St. Pat's. Newcastle beat Knockaderry in the first round, and Knockaderry beat St. Pat's last week. But, like, I mean, when you look at Newcastle and you look at how close they pushed Glenrhyd last year and what Glenrhyd do now, it's very hard to not have them as favourites to win out. I know it's get past St. Pat's, which won't be easy, but they're definitely the team to watch.
Very much so, yeah. They're rightfully favourites, as far as I'm concerned, for the whole championship. Not just on the basis of what they did last year, although that does form part of it. Like, won their first game, did what they had to do, and you know, that's really it. Like, you know, they scored, okay, it was only a 1-point win over Knockadary, like, but they scored 19 points. They're scoring 19 points at intermediate level. You have something about you, obviously. Going into this game, from my point of view, I was shocked by that result, Knockadary and St. Patrick's. Not just shocked, not against Knockadary, but I was expecting more out of this St. Patrick's team. They do have injuries. Dermot Hegarty, obviously, been a very obvious one, who got injured last year playing for the Shamrock Gaels minor team, Amalgamation of All Christians St. Patrick's. He's out again. You know, they've 9 minors from that team onto the intermediate panel this year. Obviously, I mentioned the last Calvin Moore, who was a big scoring threat. They've obviously Garrett Hegarty, Limerick senior player in that team, Pam Mullins, Brendan Mullins, Jason Mullins, well-established players at this level, okay, junior, a lot of it, but Limerick underage players all the way up to minor, but it just didn't go for them against Knockadary last week as well. They had 2 sent off, and Pam Mullins got a straight red card, and Garrett Hegarty for 2 yellows, so it was obviously a frustrating game for the Knockadary Wild World Foxes with Tom Condon in the middle of things as well. You know, they produced stuff, so they got the win. They're still in with a shout in this competition, you know. But St. Patrick's will really, really need to pull out a performance. They're capable of doing it. There isn't any question of that. I know they were disappointed with how things went last week from talking to a couple of people involved in the club. Throughout this week, you know, it's been... I said, they do have a lot of young lads coming onto the team, but level, intermediate level, it's you have to cut your teeth very, very fast, because you don't get another, and especially not with all these teams, but rather than a 4-team group, it's 3-team group. It's much more, you lose one game, you're in right trouble, where you could afford to lose one last. Usually in this championship, it's bang, you're gone. Like, so Newcastle West will be overwhelming favourites, judging on this season's competition. I put the teams a bit closer than that, but Newcastle 100% have to go in favourites. And if they do come out on top, they're obviously true, and there's other, obviously, consequences for St. Patrick's if that result bears true.
Yeah, well, look, time will tell again, as will all these games. And then on Saturday evening, Group 4, you Fiona versus Fellas Green, which is the only meeting of 2 teams that have won their game so far. So this is essentially to get top place. They both beat Turnafulla, like marginally in both games. But like, how do you see this one going?
Again, it's going to be very tight. Fiona will feel that they've kind of taken a backward step. They're in the latter stages a couple of years ago, obviously backbone by the likes of Seamus Flanagan and a number of other players, top talent, Limerick underage players throughout the years. But obviously Seamus Flanagan is their marquee player. I just remember a game, they beat Mungrove a couple of years ago in Belly of Gran, last minutes, put them into a quarter-final, I think it was a semi-final, I'm open to correction on that. And it just hasn't gone since. They've gone down a bit. They're one run again this year. They may be on the way back against the Palace Green team. Obviously, Colin Ryan comes to mind straight away, but they've a lot of other talent in their squad as well. And obviously, the Fennings come to mind straight away with them. But, you know, with Fiona, I think this game is bigger for Fiona. You know, they do, as you mentioned, both teams with beaten Turnafulla in their game so far. Just for Fiona, maybe if they get through, have more of a chance of challenging it. That's not being disrespectful to Palace Green. You just think, again, I'm open to question everything I'm saying here, but I just think maybe Palace are that heavily reliant on Colin Ryan, with good reason, because he's an outstanding hurler. But he does so much of their score, and it kind of falls on him a bit more than maybe Fiona have it more spread out with a talented forward. But again, it's intermediate grade. It's going to be very tight. One thing that has surprised me a little bit in this group is Turnafulla, actually, that they haven't kicked on from winning the junior a couple of years ago. I'm surprised that they lost them 2 games, as albeit very tight games to lose and puck of a ball either way. Like, so it's always tricky in that sense. You know, they have taken one bad beating as well, but you know, going on it, you know. You see Fiona scoring 318 against Turnafulla and 121 by Fiona and sorry, Palace Green scoring 318. You know, sorry, Fiona scoring 318, Palace Green scoring 121. I'll just get that right. They're two high scoring teams in both games, albeit against Tourna Fulla. So I expect a high scoring game on the back of that. Both teams well capable of putting up good scores, which isn't always the case at intermediate. So it shows their level of that they do have scoring forwards again. So on that basis, it has to be a tight one. Just think Fiona may have just the better scorers a bit more, could see them through.
Yeah, and look, it was two teams that have been recently in Premier Intermediates. So it will be should be a classic like many other games. And we've gone through 12 games there, and if we predicted 6 or 7 right, like, you'd be laughing.
Don't matter, Jack. We've done very well if that's the case.
We mustn't forget, obviously, the Junior A Championship. There's another full round of fixtures this weekend. It's different, just the Junior A, that there's 6 teams in the group. There's 5 rounds, we'll say. There's 12 games to go through all of them now. We'll be here all night. That championship won't be concluded for there's a break after this weekend for 3 or 4 weeks, and then it's back for the next 3 rounds. But obviously, the pick of the tie would be Askeaton versus All Christians.
100%. It's the only game that matters, Jack. It's the only game. Two of the 6 teams that have no points so far. So obviously, that from my point of view and your point of view, that's the important game. And both teams struggling going into it is the fairest way to say it. Croke obviously beat All Christians last week, Croke and Finney, and we lost to Mungret the week before as well. I'm very impressed with Croke last week. I saw the second half of that after I left the Gaelic grounds out there. Seamus Hickey tugging out for them this year, having moved from Roebore. They're favourites for the competition. You know, they were impressive, scored 423, albeit against a team that was struggling. 50-51, Jack, is it?
We'll have to give it a prediction so far.
I want to hear from you now.
No, look, as it is in all other championships, like all these games, they kind of life of their own. I mean, as you said, neither team has a point yet, but there's three full rounds to go. Like, you could easily pick up 6 and finish first, second, or third. Like, but just to run through the junior championship just for a second, after 2 rounds, you'll say you have Castlough Ballygran in Group 1 are the early front runners with 4 points. Mm. They have won both their games. In Group 2, as you said, Croke Kilfinney are the group that Askeaton and North Christian. Croke Kilfinney and Kilkenny Dunkeen have both won their 2 games. In Group 3, Temple Glanton have 100% record after 2 games. And Corrymeester and Glahan in Group 4 both have won their pair of games. But look, it's very early doors in that competition we've gone through.
Just on that, Jack, I mentioned Croke Kilfinney, and I've seen Croke Kilfinney, so I can at least talk about them. They were very impressive against All Christians last week. But Castlough and Ballygran, just to mention them, beaten finalists last year by Kilmallock, would have been very, very unhappy at the way they performed on that day. They've been thereabouts for the last number of years. Themselves and Croke, Krakow and Gregor Manister and Clan have had great starts as well. Temple Glanton are always a very tough team to beat at junior level. Just a quick mention on Gregor Manister, have Cathal O'Neill in their team this year. First year playing adult hurling for him. Just something to keep an eye on is if you get a chance to watch Cathal O'Neill at junior A hurling level, I don't think you'll see it for too long. You know, he's such an outstanding talent. It'd be a privilege to watch him at any level, but seeing the damage he could do already at junior A level, it's been bore fruit in the first couple of games. Just wanted to highlight that as well, as them having a great start. Clan, as we mentioned, have had a perfect start as well. But Ballygran and Croke Kilfinney, to me, are the teams to beat in this. That's not being disrespectful to anyone else. Ballygran will be livid with the way they lost to Kilmallock. They just didn't turn up on the day. It was a very disappointing defeat. And Croke Kilfinney going all out with their big signing. And that's a ball hop saying that, obviously. But, you know, they played a lovely band of hurling. I think Chris Sexton, who was over Kildaima Palace Kennedy the last number of years, is given a hand there as well. So, very experienced coach in that. But it is, and it's worth mentioning as well, the novel. It's the first time it's County Junior A Championship as well, moving away from the division and stuff. It's novel. It's interesting to see teams that were very comfortable in their divisions up to now are seeing a new life of Junior A hurling. Maybe for some of them, not the best of news, getting them a bit of a reality check the way the standard is elsewhere. But again, from what I've seen so far in a couple of games, it's been very high standard.
Yeah, and as has been in every grade, and hopefully we'll have another weekend of it. Thanks very much, John, and catch all the results next week, and have a good weekend, everyone. Thank you.
Cheers, Jack.